Welcome back, everybody, to Hoops HD. It is
Woohoo!
championship week, day number 10, 10th day of the week. I'm your host, Chad Sherwood. We got David Dorman and David Griggs with me here for our championship week video notebook. May have one or two more jump in, but we like to just get these things rolling here because it's late. But it is our championship week video notebook, and I wanted to start off by reminding everybody once again, have no fear. The puppet is safely locked away in the puppet bunker.
I don't really like it in here. Like, I look around. Rocco's in Las Vegas. You're somewhere at games. Tytel's in D.C. at games. Why don't you put someone else in the bunker and send me to Las Vegas?
Well, we added the little rat for you yesterday. Hasn't that helped?
No.
Okay. Let's get right to the games here. We had, what was it, four automatic bids handed out tonight. Let's begin. Let's begin in the Coastal Athletic Association, which was that Cinderella story of the Delaware Fighting Blue Hens trying to be the first 12 seed ever to make the NCAA tournament. Dorman, not quite, but they gave Wilmington a hell of
Oh
a
my
battle.
God.
They gave them a battle. I will admit, in the middle of the second half, Wilmington got up 7-8, and I said, you know what? Delaware played great all tournament long. They were game tonight, and I thought it was over. Delaware made another push, got right back into it. A few shots didn't go their way down the stretch. Wilmington got some big stops and hit some shots down low in the lane. Wilmington prevails. Wilmington goes to the tournament next week. But Delaware, you got a lot of credit. You played hard all week. You never gave up. I loved your attitude all week. I thought the coaching was great. Congrats to the Blue Hens. You made your school proud.
Made them proud. Off to the Conference USA next year too. This was their last ever coastal game, Griggs.
It was interesting. Mike Bray was at the game. He looked like he'd been hanging out with me for several days.
I believe so was Kevin Keats on the Wilmington side, but
But one of the things that is so remarkable, everybody's commenting on what an accomplishment it was and how much of a turnaround they made. And while all that's true, one of the questions that's on my mind, and it was ever really since the quarterfinal game and then the semi and then the final, where the hell was this in January? Like had Delaware played like that all year, they wouldn't have been a 12 seed.
Hey, did it matter if they were a 12 seed? They were still made the finals, did they not?
They did, and but had they played like that all year and made the finals, they may have won, and they may have not. They were on their way to Dayton had they won this game, by about a few hundred spots. But it was an incredible effort. You hope that they can take that energy into next year.
We'll see what happens in their new conference next year. Griggs, let me stick with you. We also had Championship Day in the Horizon League, which we
Yes.
were on the Penguin Fever bandwagon. Unfortunately, it kind of came to an end today.
I'm not okay, in case you're wondering. It was kind of disappointing, but everybody is disappointed except the one team that wins the last one, and that's only one team. So whether it's in the conference tournament or in the Final Four, I still think that it was a testament to this how far this Youngstown program has gone become. They made comments during the game, and I'm glad that they did, about up until about 3 or 4 years ago, Youngstown was just historically horrible. They hadn't really even had success that much as a D2 program. So for them to get this far, and then for that to follow the season that they had last year, I think the expectations there have changed, and the program's been elevated. But you also have to give credit to Robert Morris. Their first trip to the tournament since joining the Horizon League, the first place finishers and the tournament winners, and they got it done on a neutral floor, and they had to beat some pretty hot teams along the way. Oakland, while a six seed, was not the easiest team to beat, and neither was Youngstown today. It was close. They didn't really get control of it until the last couple minutes.
Yeah, I've got to give a shout out. First of all, Dorman, have five players in double figures for Robert Morris, led by Josh Omojafu, who had 24 points and 13 rebounds. And that's him right there on the screen, proudly wearing his Morris Robert uniform.
He was a stud tonight. He played great. Every time they needed a big basket, wasn't just the scoring, but the rebounding, his toughness on D. He's really good. This Robert Morris team, like you said, very balanced, well coached. They did it on the neutral court, and they did the double. They got the regular season and the conference tournament. Congratulations to Robert Morris. And Griggs, our igloos have melted.
Yeah.
It was a melted. Welcome, Mike Cha, to the program, first of all. Mike, we're just getting going here, and let me ask you about the next conference championship we haven't gone to yet.
Oh.
Northeast Conference, where
Oh
last night, as I
my
recall, you all laughed at me for picking the Red Flash to win this game. Mike, somebody was right.
Yeah, kudos to you. I mean, I went with chalk. I picked Central Connecticut, but that's why you play the games. I mean, kudos to St. Francis. I mean, you got to remember in these small conferences, you got to play on the lower seed plays on the other team's court. So, kudos to St. Francis, not winning on the road, and they move on. And before I used to have to say St. Francis and then PA in parentheses, but with the St. Francis in Brooklyn no longer in Division One, I don't have to do that anymore, I guess.
No longer even a university, basically. I think they're just a, no athletics at all. They
Yeah, they
St.
cut
Francis
all
Brooklyn.
athletics. Really, really unfortunate. Because they'd had athletics for I think 100 years, and
But this game today, Griggs, Central Connecticut, bad turnover on their, well, I guess it was their second to last possession, that gave Central that when they were just down two. And then even after a free throw was made, they actually had a look that hit off the
yeah,
bat that hit off the backboard there,
yeah,
off of
back
the
of the
rim.
rim.
Yeah,
Yeah.
back of the
Yeah,
rim,
and
and wow.
I mean for in terms of half court heaves, it was a really good shot. It hit the rim,
But the
reminiscent
turnover on
of
the possession before was just a shame. That's how they lost. That's really what lost
yeah,
them.
it really was. And I don't want to take anything away from St. Francis, but there is something. This is the nature of the under the radar. So few of them get anywhere near the bubble, much less inside of it. And you kind of hate to see a program that you felt was the best and the most deserving when you look at their whole body of work. Not only that, but also if anybody from the NEC was going to give anybody any sort of a game for at least a half or 30 minutes, it was Central Connecticut. St. Francis is on their way to Dayton. If they win,
I
wow.
disagree with you. I think St.
Really?
Francis will give a game to whoever they play
Well,
in Dayton
okay.
for a half.
Yeah. They're on their way to Dayton. After that, in the round of 64, jackass, okay?
Well, you said it. You know what? It counts as a full tournament game. It's a full share for winning the game. And some of these conferences wouldn't mind going there because it gives it there gives them that solo TV window. It gives them the chance to
Yeah.
win an extra unit. So.
Oh, the commissioner loves this, I bet.
Yeah,
The
Northeast Conference,
NEC, yeah.
yeah, no doubt.
Dorman, let's turn from the bottom of the bracket to much higher up in the bracket. It was a hell of a game in the West Coast Conference Championship game tonight.
Yeah, it was awesome. If you recall, during the regular season, St. Mary's absolutely annihilated Gonzaga twice. They had their number. They were clearly the better team twice. In the regular season, they shot beautifully, and Gonzaga was out of them. Tonight, it was a reversal. Gonzaga got out to a great start, and they got their belief and their swag almost. You could almost see that Gonzaga swag in the first half. Then, towards the end of the first half, right before halftime, they lose the whole lead. Their all-world point guard Nembhard gets called for a technical as he's standing on the bench. The ref told him to sit down. He still started chirping. So Coach Few was taking him out because they were going back on D, and he didn't want him to pick up a foul. So he goes to the bench and picks up a technical foul, which also counts as a personal. So he ended up picking up his third. Everything Few didn't want ended up happening. There is no lead at halftime. They came right back out of the second half. They were fired up and they got a little lead. It never got crazy, but they had a little leeway, about 4 to 5 points the whole second half, finished them off strong. What is key here, I believe, for Gonzaga, it probably gets them away from that 8-9 line, which goes directly to the one in the second round. So you might be able to sneak a 7 seed now and go to a 2 seed instead of a one. I think that would really be important. I'm still as high as can be on St. Mary's next week. This is a great team.
Yeah, I think that
Yeah.
these are two very dangerous teams here.
So I kind of have two thoughts in my head about this game. One was both teams, but Gonzaga in particular was awesome defensively, but St. Mary's was horrific shooting the ball. And while Gonzaga contested a lot of shots and forced turnovers, they didn't contest all of them. St. Mary's, I think, was 0 for about a million from beyond the arc.
Well, you know what,
And
Griggs, what I take from that is the St. Mary's was right there with a very good team without hitting their shots. They hit their shots. They could beat almost anybody in the nation.
And you just sort of wondered where was the shooting tonight. It was a really exciting game that wasn't always well played. That's how I would come. But Gonzaga, you could say the same thing about them. They found a way to win a slog game against a really tough rival. But
Let's roll
They
on
won
here.
20, 21 out of 27 WCC tournaments.
Yeah, this is these two teams almost every year going back. I think you got to go back about 20 years before it wasn't one of these two or BYU when they were in the conference in the finals. It's amazing how much these two teams have dominated the league. America East, and how about those Maine Black Bears? Absolutely blew my mind, just not only going to Vermont and winning, but dominating the entire game.
It was amazing. It was incredible. It was the best win in school history, I think.
Well, not quite, but close, maybe. Close, maybe.
I mean,
It broke a 30-game losing streak to Vermont by the Maine Black Bears. 30 games in a row.
I just hope it was as good for you all as it was for me. It was just amazing to watch this, them getting control, and then all of a sudden, like Albany scored the first 8 or 9 points of the game against Brighton. I'm like, oh, the championship game is coming to Maine. It's happening, and we are all going.
Didn't quite happen. And Bryant, Mike Bryant took control and pulled away by 14 in the first half, and then just rolled in the second half here. But they could toast Maine in the championship game on Saturday morning.
Yes, I will be. I've my alarm is set. I don't want to sleep through it. And I think Maine can. This is legit exciting. Bryant, a recent transitional team. Nothing against Vermont. They've been the class of the league. They had a good year this year, but it's kind of neat to see the storylines of Bryant being new to D1 and Maine not being new to D1, but certainly being new to this game. It's the biggest spotlight for Maine basketball that I can remember ever.
Yeah, but there we go. We got the championship game. Dorman, Southland Conference. McNeese, the game was actually close, a lot closer to that final score in the second half, although they did what they needed to do. And a hell of a game, as we predicted, between Lamar and Nichols.
McNeese pulled out big right away. This is being played on their home court in their home stadium. McNeese pulled out to a big lead, but midway through the second half, Northwestern State had cut it to single digits and looked like they were coming on. McNeese put it in gear again, hit a couple big threes, pulled away, and that was the end. But Northwestern was game. I was impressed with their showing there in the second half. They could have folded up, and they didn't. So a nice year for Northwestern State. Plenty to build on. And do you want me to take the next game, or are we going on?
Go for it.
Okay, Nichols, who I had picked to win this tournament, I was high on all year, was looked like the team I thought they were in the first half. Got a real nice lead. They had control of the game. Lamar was throwing the ball all over. Nichols was playing solid D. And in the second half, they gave away the game, really. Nichols was ice cold shooting. The turnovers were awful. Lamar started to press a little. Nichols panicked. And then Lamar. And Nichols has a chance to tie it with their last possession of the game and decides to throw it to the other team. Lamar gets the ball, and then there was fouls, and Lamar ended up winning by three. But Nichols had every opportunity in this game. They're going to be sick about this one for a while.
Mike, what do you think about tomorrow? Does Lamar have any shot against this McNeese team?
Oh, they have a chance. I mean,
No,
you put
they
the
don't.
uniform, you put your pant legs one leg at a time, you put the sneakers and shoes. Yes, they do have a chance, not a great chance, but I mean, McNeese has obviously been the class of this conference for 2 straight years, and if they should they advance tomorrow, they're projected to be a 12 seed. Lamar has a chance, not a great chance, but just I give them a puncher's chance.
A very slim chance, I think.
I give them no chance. Well,
My
if
Central
McNeese,
Connecticut State.
if McNeese,
I'm
there's no
not
way I'm
calling.
going to be
I'm not
wrong
calling
on
Lamar
McNeese.
like I called St. Francis
Yeah.
Dorman. It's not happening.
If
I expect.
McNeese misses the bus and doesn't get there till
Yeah,
halftime,
you never know.
then maybe Lamar has a chance.
Mike, let me stick with you because it was first round day in the ACC, and even though we
Oh my
laughed that
gosh.
these were
We
kind of
got our
meaningless
matchup, Cal
matchups,
Stanford.
But we also had three great games.
Yeah, that's true. Especially the Cal win in double overtime over Virginia Tech, but even the early game, 1 point win for the Fighting Irish beating Pittsburgh.
Yeah,
Yeah, we had three
we've
great
got
games,
we've got
and
to talk
we have
about
our
the
Cal
cry.
Stanford matchup.
We've
They're
got to
not
talk about what was
3,000
one of the
miles
more atrocious
away.
calls of all time.
Awful,
Yeah,
awful.
the probably the I feel awful right now
Terrible.
for Zach Austin from Pitt, who gets called for the most nonsensical non-foul I've ever seen with half a second left in the game. He's going up, they're going up, they're fighting for a rebound. Somehow the Notre Dame guy gets it. He tries to go back up for a shot that he misses. There's just regular contact. There's nothing there. It's
There's
not a
not
foul
even
dirt.
that. Yeah.
It's not there, and it cost them the entire game. It was absolutely horrible officiating. I hope we never see those officials again, quite honestly. That's how bad it was.
It was awful.
It was so bad that you almost the whistle was so late. I don't know if you caught this
Yes.
when it happened,
Yes.
that both teams thought he was whistling for the end of the game and just
Yes.
Notre Dame walked off the floor and went to the bench. They had no idea a foul had been
Everyone
called. Notre
thought it
Dame,
was
the
overtime. The announcers thought it was overtime.
So you almost and everybody has a bad moment and you wonder what is the official thinking, but at some point, somebody, even the other two guys that he's working the game with, have got to huddle up and say, that was not a foul.
Then in the Vatek Cal game, a bad turnover at the end of regulation, which has been the theme of the night here tonight. It happened in the Southland and in the Northeast as well, led to the free throws that tied the game. And then hey, Syracuse gets the win over Florida State. Florida State actually made a late run to kind of get the game a little bit close. And that's probably it for Leonard Hamilton's career. I don't know that an NIT bid is or anything like that is going to be in the future.
And
It
if
could
they were to
be.
get
Could be.
there, I
Isn't
don't
it?
think they would accept it. And if
Yeah.
they do, I don't know if he even coaches the team.
Yeah.
I
Might be the end
think
of,
that,
yeah.
yeah.
Sorry. Might be the end of Mike Young's coaching career.
Might be that too.
Well, not his
Oh,
coaching. He's a
maybe his
great.
days at Virginia Tech.
Mike Young, a fantastic coach, did very well at Wofford. Never had a
Yes.
team at Virginia Tech that was anywhere close to as good as some of the ones he had at Wofford.
Is it also the end of Jeff Capel's coaching career?
Just
I
a
don't
rough
know.
day. My God.
Anyhow, Dorman, what about these four games coming up tomorrow? We have one huge one there in that
Yeah.
Notre Dame, North Carolina Notre Dame game in terms of North Carolina's bubble chances.
Well, yeah, Carolina has to win this because if they lose, it's a bad loss. This is a tier three. They really needed Pittsburgh to win because it was a tier two. That would have been a tier two win. Not that that would have moved the needle so much, but it's a lot. It's more than a Notre Dame win. So tomorrow is nothing good can really happen to North Carolina. They got to win. They got to move on. And they got to get a shot at Wake and probably a shot at Duke to even have any hope for to hear their name called Sunday night. So I think it was little and unfortunate the Notre Dame win for Carolina fans, but that's the way it breaks. But you got to do the work yourself. You got to win two games here and then see if you can play Duke Friday night.
Greg, so what about these other three games? Do you see any upsets, at least in terms of seeds? Georgia Tech, Virginia, Cal Stanford, SMU, Syracuse.
I do not.
Okay, then let's move on. Mike, it was also first round day in the Big 12 conference. Not quite as exciting as the ACC was, although the first game was kind of actually that was
Yeah,
the
the
second
first
game
game
of
was
the
a stunner. I mean, a
it was the
16 over
second game of the
9.
day. It was the second game of the day, but because they play their just the way they play the order, but it was that TCU Colorado game. Yep.
Yeah, I was very surprised. Colorado, the lowest seed here, 2-point upset over TCU. That's why you play the games. I mean, I was very surprised. I did not expect that.
Griggs, anything else about the other three games that really stood out to you? I mean, I guess, UCF, I don't know that that was a huge upset over Utah, honestly.
Not too much. K-State, I they were a team that for a minute, like they were pitiful, but then for a minute in mid-January to mid-February, we thought that they were playing as well as anyone in the country. And if you're a metrics guru, which I look at the metrics, I'm not a guru the way Rocco and Joby are, but for a 4-week period, they were the number one team in that 4 weeks. Didn't look number one the day, but they did get the win. It wouldn't shock me if they won tomorrow.
And that is, looking at the schedule tomorrow, I think that's really the key game here because
Yeah.
we've got three teams that I think are clearly in the field, West Virginia, Iowa State, Kansas, playing three teams that are not in the field. But Baylor, who is the biggest bubble team of this group here, playing a day, could be a dangerous K-State team, and
Yeah.
they are going to be sweating if they lose this game.
And they may lose that game. They very well could. K-State, again, not looking like world beaters today, but they do have it in them, I think, to come out there tomorrow and beat Baylor.
Mike, you want to predict any other upsets in any other three games or no?
No, not really. I was going to
Yeah.
say what made
Good
the
call.
Colorado win even a little more surprising is not only the lowest seed, but that they're used to, they're a lot better at altitude, but this game being in Kansas City is not at altitude. So I thought that would have been a disadvantage for Colorado, but they still pulled off the win. But as for tomorrow, I don't see any big upsets. Yeah, if you're Baylor, you better win tomorrow. I mean, it doesn't enhance the resume, but you got to get the win, avoid the bad loss.
I'll tell you what it was. If you saw the court that the Big 12 was playing on, I wish we could have had a picture of it, but it really is it is the same artwork. Chad pointed this out, that does the 3D generated art.
Oh,
And Colorado, being a
it's
state where
bad. It's
mushrooms
bad.
and weed are legal, could
It was
they were
bad.
just far more ex adapt to that particular floor.
I'll give you one, Chad. Whoa, Central
Go
Florida was having a decent year halfway through in December and January. Central Florida were in plenty of bracketologists brackets. So Kansas, we know, has had a down year. Kansas has beaten Central Florida twice. Central Florida played them close though once. They only
Very
lost
close,
by
yeah.
lost by 4 points.
What was the score the other time they played though,
They
Dorman?
lost by
Yeah.
50. They lost by
Okay.
50. Okay. But
So
if Kansas wants to mess around and play bad like they have half the year, and Central Florida brings their A game, they could watch Central Florida could scare Kansas tomorrow night.
I'll throw this out there. Keyshawn Hall had another great game tonight,
Yep.
23 points. My understanding is, I believe the stat was that he has more 20-plus point games than anybody in the Big 12 this season for UCF. So his one of several players I want to give a shout out to. Coleman Hawkins from K-State with 25 points. Dillian Mitchell with 18 and 15, 18 points, 15 boards for Cincinnati. So there are players on these teams that could step up again tomorrow and maybe help pull off one of these upsets. But Griggs, how about Conference USA? We had
Oh.
the Sam Houston UTEP game and the Western Kentucky FIU game. You didn't believe me last night about FIU. Do you believe me now?
No, I think Western Kentucky's still going to win it.
Okay.
Well,
Anything
obviously,
else about these two games?
just that they were, I mean, shout out to FIU. I thought Western Kentucky was superior. Like had superior talent, maybe they did, but FIU getting the win today. I don't know how well they'll do tomorrow. UTEP looked pretty good today. I still don't. I mean, I still think Liberty will get the win, but they better not overlook UTEP. And again, I think that there's eight team. Well, there's eight teams in the quarterfinals, and if seven could win it, and I wouldn't be surprised.
UTEP won in Liberty.
They did. They
Yes,
did.
UTEP won on Liberty's home court by two in January.
Yeah.
Mike, we just have this two quarterfinals, the Liberty UTEP and the Jacksonville State FIU game tomorrow. Do you think we're going to see an upset, or do you think Liberty and Jack State take care of business?
I do not see an upset for either game. I like this format where you give a little advantage to the top two seeds because the winners, if chalk prevails, the winner they'll get a day off, and that could be big. Whereas the 3 and 4 seeds, the other two quarterfinal games, the winners do not get a full day off. They only get 24 hours, less than 24 hours to prepare.
Part of the reason for this format is they are playing the women's tournament at the same site, and so they play women's games in the afternoon, men's games at the evening. But they could have done a full day of men followed by a full day of women's games, but which I think was what the Big South did. But I do agree with you. I like this format. Same exact format, Dorman over in the Metro Atlantic, where we saw both Ryder and Sacred Heart pick up wins today.
Yeah, the Ryder-Siena game was exciting. Jerry McNamara's Siena Saints were ahead, pulled out ahead in the first half, Siena, and had a lead most of the game. Ryder kept.
They're up 12 in the second half at one point,
Yeah,
Siena.
I was going to say double
So
digit, 12. There you go. Thank you, Chad. And Ryder came flying back, hit a couple threes. Siena decided to throw the ball away, couple travels. And all of a sudden, it was back and forth tight for the last 3 or 4 minutes. And Ryder got a beautiful play down the stretch to take the lead. And that was the end of Siena.
yeah, Tariq Ingram on the tail end of that great pass into him underneath for the basically was a layup with about
Beautiful.
less than a second left for the win. So congrats to Ryder on that. Griggs, that sets up Quinnipiac versus Ryder and Merrimack versus Sacred Heart tomorrow. And
Yeah.
what could be a tricky games for both those top two seeds, I think.
Could be, especially since you never seem to know what's going to happen in this league. There was a lot of parity in it, as you might remember. I still think that I have a feeling that Quinnipiac's going to have trouble with Ryder. I don't know why. I think
I
Merrimack,
agree
even
with you.
though is Sacred Heart won a little more easy, they were breathing a little more easy. I think Merrimack takes care of business tomorrow. I'm not going to predict the upset, but I think Ryder might give them a show.
I'm with you. I think this. I and we've seen it so many times in the Metro
Yeah,
Atlantic tournament. Also,
we
that
have.
it wouldn't shock me. Mike, it was first round day in the WAC in St. George, Utah, for the one game here, technically on Utah Tech's home court, and they did pull the very mild upset, knocking off Southern Utah. And what is actually a pretty good rivalry of two teams that are what 8 miles apart in Southern Utah. There, Griggs, never met in the
Yeah,
NCAA
but
tournament.
and they've never met in the NCAA tournament. Yeah.
But
Well,
Mike, what about
forget
this
Duke
game?
UNC. That's the rivalry here. Southern Utah,
Yeah.
Utah Tech. Wasn't Utah Tech formerly called Dixie State?
They were.
Yes.
They've
Yeah. So
lost 14
you
in a
got two
row.
teams 8 miles apart playing in the southwest part of Utah.
Are they really that
As you
close?
mentioned yesterday, Chad, the reason is because of the Orleans Arena was used for the West Coast tournament, so they could not play. They cannot play there tonight. So the Utah Tech will make the 1 hour, 1.5 hour plus drive to Las Vegas to take on Utah Valley. And that's another, for bragging rights there too. But nine over an eight is not really that much of an upset, and it was a close game. So,
Yep, Utah Tech had lost 14 in a row before today.
yeah, they've been
Oh, I
swept on
didn't
the
know that.
season. They've been swept on the
Yeah.
season by Southern Utah, but they got the revenge at home.
Yeah.
Hakeem
Well, it's
Berg
hard
with
to beat a
19
team three
points.
times in a year.
Yeah.
It is Dorman. How about these two games? Only two games here tomorrow. Also, Utah Valley, Utah Tech, and Grand Canyon gets Texas Arlington.
I think the chalk holds here tomorrow. I think Utah Valley is stronger than Utah Tech. I think they will take
Oh,
care of their
God.
business. And I think Grand Canyon will be ready for the WAC tournament, which I've said it before. I think they've had a down year for their own standards. I thought they were the coming into the year the class of the WAC, and turned out not to be. But they're ready. The Lopes will be ready tomorrow afternoon, and here comes UTSA, but I like the chalk tomorrow.
I think the Lopes win this one tomorrow. It's Friday that I'm worried about for the Lopes, but we'll see. Let's jump back over to the Big Sky Conference. Because that game is going on as we record this, the second game. But Griggs, Northern Colorado absolutely pounded Montana State, and Montana is up double digits on Idaho at halftime as we record this. It looks like, as we predicted, form is going to hold fairly easily to what may be a really good championship game late tomorrow night.
I think it will, and I think it will be. And tomorrow we're gonna be on late because of the championship game. But
We're gonna have a debate after we get done with the show what time we're gonna start, but we'll figure it out. So go ahead.
But that is going to be a really good game.
Yeah, I'm
Yeah, as
pretty.
we speak, Montana has an 11-point lead over Idaho at the half.
Yeah,
Yeah,
Idaho's
I
had a
don't see
good
Idaho pulling
year.
that.
I don't, but I just think that this is. I just think that they're overmatched, and the hill they got to run up now is far too steep. So,
Yeah, Griggs,
tournament in Boise. Yeah.
let me stick with you here. One other conference was in action today. It was opening round day in the SWAC, where Grambling had no trouble at all with Alabama A&M. On the other hand,
Yeah.
Prairie View was actually dominating the first half against FAMU, but FAMU completely blew them out of the water in the second half to win that one by almost double digits.
Yeah, Prairie View had a has had a miserable year. So it was kind of surprising to see them jump out the way that they did. But as you mentioned, FAMU comes back and wins no problem. So no real surprises today. We go into tomorrow. We get the Bayou Classic quarterfinal game.
Awesome,
But
Southern Grambling.
woo!
What a big
Yeah.
rivalry game in
Yes.
that afternoon game there. Yep.
Awesome.
Yeah, and it's the tournament's in Atlanta. I keep thinking it's in Birmingham because it was for so long, but it's actually in Atlanta. Unfortunately, like while I love the matchup, I think it's also a mismatchup in that Southern wins easily.
Yeah, Jackson State FAMU. First of all, shout out to Milton Matthews, 23 points for FAMU today. I'm not with you, Dorman, on Jackson State winning this tournament, but I do think Jackson State gets tomorrow's win. I don't think FAMU is going to give much trouble, honestly. We could have two blowouts again in this conference.
I agree with you. I think chalk calls tomorrow.
One quick note, as you look on the screen here, there is a team missing, and as we mentioned last night, it is Mississippi Valley State.
Yeah.
But they're still working on
Yeah, they're
it.
still working on it. That's this is a well articulated thesis
Yeah,
here,
I think it
and
works.
and I think the committee should really consider it.
I do too. I think it'll
Yeah.
work.
Let's see here. I mean, they promised to respect the game and play hard. And the best
Yeah.
part at the very end, please, 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 pretty please. I mean,
Yeah.
you can't ask nicer than that.
I know. Yeah. I
Come
mean,
on,
that's,
Constellation Committee,
I
take the
mean,
Delta Devils.
in a
You're polite.
society where decorum and politeness is going down the drain, I mean,
Yes.
that needs to be rewarded
Let's get
With
to
the
some
best.
action tomorrow. One conference that had previously been in action that's coming back for its championship game. It is Patriot League title game night. Navy at American, a little DMV zone area stuff here
Yeah.
going on. Dorman, any thoughts on this game? Can Navy go to American and pick up the win? Because we know it's going to be a raucous crowd.
America's obviously been licking their chops since they not only won themselves and they finally got over the hump of beating Colgate, who has dominated this conference tournament for years, but then they also caught the break with Navy beating Bucknell. So American gets the game at home. I think Navy has been so tough in this tournament. I've been really impressed. Coach DeChellis's Navy midshipmen have been really awesome. The old ex-Penn State coach. This can be a tight game. I think American pulls it out at home. I think the crowd gets them over the hump.
Dorman, I'm going to obviously, Griggs, I'm going to go with the upset here.
Are you really?
Navy
Wow.
was the first team all season to win at BU. Then they won at the one seed. I don't think they're afraid of it being on the road here. I
I
think
don't
they
think,
do it again.
yeah, I don't think they are either. And I was going to say that I think Navy really competes. I mean, an American didn't always bury teams. It wasn't like they ran away from the league. I think American wins. I just think that they're a little bit better and that they're at home. But I think Navy competes. And while I'm picking American, it wouldn't shock me at all if Navy went there and beat them.
All right, let's move on to some bunch of conferences that are starting play tomorrow. Mike, we start several of the major conferences, including the Big East first round day, where we've got Providence Butler, Georgetown DePaul, and Villanova Seton Hall. Any thoughts on these three games?
Not
Other
really.
than
None
you
of
got to
them
find your
move.
Peacock subscription to watch them.
Yeah. None of them move the arrow, but it's they hopefully they'll be competitive games. Just like the ACC, you had the three games, none of them moved the arrow, but they were all competitive, close games, including the double overtime one.
Yeah,
Yeah.
I will say this. I don't think they'll have any trouble. Villanova, nowhere near the bubble, but they are a little sneaky good. They've given some teams some trouble at times. So,
And
assuming they get,
they've lost some bad games, so
and they've lost some real bad
it
ones.
wouldn't shock me if they fell to a very bad Seton Hall team tomorrow.
Okay, yeah. But it also wouldn't shock me if they beat Connecticut. Not tomorrow. If Villanova beats Connecticut tomorrow, I will be absolutely flabbergasted. But it, yeah.
Dorman, who's going to win the Big East tournament?
I've been going back and forth on this. I'm going with Creighton. Let's see Coach McDermott finally do this. I think it's a little off the. I'm going Creighton, Xavier. For Stalika in the finals, Creighton beats Xavier Saturday night.
Wow. I'm going very different from you. I'm going St. John's over UConn in the finals. Griggs?
Round three.
I actually have a feeling that Xavier can do really well in this. They nearly beat St. John's the last time they played, and they're, while it took them a while to start to play at a high caliber, they are playing at a high caliber. I know that it's St. John's backyard, but it wouldn't shock me if Xavier won this tournament. It also wouldn't shock me if they lost tomorrow or on Thursday.
Well, they're not going to lose tomorrow. But
Yeah.
I can see them getting by Marquette, just not by the Johnnies. Mike, real
Yeah.
quick, winner of the
I
tournament.
like the Johnnies. I know Creighton UConn. Hopefully that will be the semifinal matchup. That'll be a heck of a matchup. But I think St. John's being the best team with their defense is really tough, very very suffocating, and they are playing on their home court. So I like St. John's to win this tournament.
I agree. Griggs. Big Ten opening day tomorrow, also on Peacock. Minnesota Northwestern, Ohio State Iowa, and my Rutgers Scarlet Knights against USC.
I don't know what has to happen for people to stop projecting Ohio State into the field. Maybe if Iowa beats them tomorrow, people will finally stop, but not necessarily. As far as tomorrow, I think Northwestern beats Minnesota. It wouldn't shock me to see Iowa give Ohio State a game, and I think Rutgers rolls.
How about that? If Iowa, who just knocked Nebraska out of the NCAA tournament in the regular season finale, might knock Ohio State out of any
Yeah.
brackets here as well. And that is obviously the big game tomorrow because Ohio State has to win if they want to stay
Yeah, they
alive, like
do.
some people think they are. We don't. Dorman, who wins the Big Ten tournament?
I like the sixth seed sitting down there, Purdue. I like their road. I think the Rutgers game is going to be tough. If they can, I think they beat Rutgers in a tough game. I don't like the way Michigan is playing. I think they have all they need to beat Maryland or Illinois. I like Purdue really to win this title. Purdue over Michigan State.
Mike, what about you? You gonna go with your Wolverines?
Not really, unless they suddenly turn it
Yeah.
around. But the thing is, if they do play Purdue, keep in mind that's going to be because it's in Indianapolis, it's going to be more of a Purdue home crowd. It's only an hour away from Purdue's campus. I'm hoping for the best for Michigan, but I'm being realistic. I think Purdue's a good pick. Purdue or Michigan State. I think Michigan State, it just depends on how motivated they are, because it's like, do we, they're going to be the number two seed in the NCAA tournament, very likely. Do they want to say, okay, we'll just save our juices for the NCAA tournament, just kind of blow this off? I mean, I don't, that's the thing, you don't know. So I think Purdue's a good pick here.
I'm actually going to go with somebody that wins 4 games in 4 days also, but I'm going with the Wisconsin Badgers.
I
That's
like
a,
it. Yeah. Yeah.
I think that they got their bad game out of their system in that regular season finale. They take down UCLA. They might be taking down Indiana. In this, I don't know that Michigan State even gets past an Indiana team. That might be a little game here.
Yeah.
But Griggs, real quick, who wins the Big Ten?
I'm gonna go with Michigan State, the unexciting pick. I just think that I love how they're playing.
Dorman, opening round day tomorrow in the SEC with
Woo-hoo.
4 games that actually
Wow.
have a lot of meaning, which is
Oh, yeah.
amazing. We are in the first of 5 rounds and we got huge games here. Arkansas, South Carolina, huge Vanderbilt, Texas game, Mississippi State, LSU, and an even huger Georgia, Oklahoma game.
Every game, all four of those you just mentioned, Chad, have huge meaning. Arkansas just lost to South Carolina a couple weeks ago. If you remember, that was the game I think Arkansas failed to break 40 points. Calipari was crazed. He didn't know what was going on. Look for Arkansas to get the revenge. Vanderbilt, Texas. We think Vanderbilt is safe. Others don't. Vanderbilt would do themselves good to make sure they just win one more game. They'll feel real good through the weekend. It is in Nashville, not on their home stadium. It's in Nashville. They'll have crowd support. Texas has looked awful. I don't know why people keep putting Texas in their bracket. Like Briggs said, Ohio State and Texas are driving me crazy. Mississippi State could use a win to help their seeding and get a little confidence and mojo back. And then the last one game, Georgia, Oklahoma. Both of them need it really bad. I think Georgia's safe even with a loss. I think Oklahoma needs one more win.
I think you nailed this conference. I really do. I agree with everything you
Georgia's
said.
done enough lately so that even if they lose tomorrow, I think they're in. So I agree with that.
And then we got the $10 million question here. Mike, let me start with you.
Good luck.
Who's going to win this thing? Probably the most difficult conference serve to win I've ever seen in my life.
I'm going to pick Florida because they've beaten Alabama and Auburn both on the road. I mean, like if Auburn wins it, I wouldn't be surprised, but I'm going to pick Florida.
He's going Florida. Dorman, where are you going?
I'm going to go with another dark horse. I'm taking Ole Miss. Let's see if Chris Beard can get this done.
All
Why?
right.
Griggs.
I'm going Auburn. I think they want to win it, and I think they're the best team. I don't think they're looking ahead to the NCAA tournament.
I agree with you. I'm going to take Auburn just because I've got to pick somebody, and I think the easiest thing to do is pick the best team in the nation. So
Yeah.
forget about who's number one in the polls. This is the best team in the nation. Mike, it is opening round day in the Mountain West with the San Jose State, Wyoming, Nevada, Fresno State, and UNLV Air Force, and three games that is anybody going to bother watching them on the MW.com stream?
Darn it, I don't have that. Darn it.
It's a free
It's
stream.
free. It's free.
Yeah, that one's a free one. Yeah, that one's a free.
Okay.
Just go to the
Do any of those three
MW.com. They're
games really
there.
move me? No.
Good. They should.
UNLV, they are playing on their home court, but they should beat a lowly Air Force team, regardless. But really, to be honest, none of the three games really they don't really move the needle for me.
Don't move the needle. San Jose State doesn't move your needle. It's the most. Guess
All
they don't
right.
move Chad's needle either.
The
No,
other
they
Sparty
don't.
here, I guess.
I think the interesting game, we're going to talk about this one tomorrow night, is going to be that San Diego State Boise State quarterfinal. But I've been saying this for a while now. I'm sticking with it. I'm going with Colorado State to officially seal a bid and win this conference tournament, Griggs.
Yeah, me too. I
Coming.
mean, they're
Okay.
got their rail on a rampage.
Just to be different, I'll take Boise State.
Which would also lock up a potentially be a bid steal, but at that point, I think if they beat San Diego State and New Mexico, they're probably in regardless on Boise. Mike, who do you think wins this thing?
Let's see. I'm gonna go chalk. I'm gonna go with New Mexico.
All right.
I like it.
Dorman, it is opening round day of the American. I mean, this is the conference of the day tomorrow. We get Rice versus Charlotte. I mean,
Why don't they just do a quintuple header?
Exciting.
That's stupid.
I got no insight to the game. I'm picking Charlotte.
Yeah, that's about where I am with this. But maybe we just go straight to the next question, Dorman. Who wins the American?
I think Memphis takes care of business. I know there's a lot of talk about North Texas. I like their team a lot. They're tough, they're physical, they work on D. I like all that. I'm going to say Memphis pulls it out. Penny wins.
Bubble teams love what you just said.
I
Griggs?
know.
I'm going to go with the team that won it last year. And I don't know why. I
UAB,
just
huh?
kind of have a feeling. Yeah, I think UAB, I think UAB can win it. Although, I don't know. The smart pick, I think, is North Texas, but they've just not looked as good in the last couple games.
Mike.
Yes.
Who's going to win it?
I'm gonna go with Memphis. I think they, I think there's a pretty significant drop off. between Memphis and the rest of the field here. So I'm going to go with Memphis.
Yeah, I've been saying all season that I was going to go with North Texas to win this thing. I'm going to change my mind here.
Wow.
I am going to go agree with you that Memphis is going to just barely sneak out the championship game against a team that I believe was in the championship game last year, also on a Cinderella run. I think Temple puts together another run this year.
Really?
They've beaten
Wow.
Memphis, they've beaten North Texas, they've beaten the big boys in this conference during the season. And when they bring it, I think this Temple team. That's my Cinderella team in this conference here, but I don't think that at the end of the day that they win the auto bid. I think that Memphis gets it. Let's jump over to the A-10 conference, Griggs. Also opening round days with a Davidson Richmond, Rhode Island Fordham, and UMass LaSalle in what might be Coach Fran Dunphy's last game ever.
Yeah, the opening round of the A10 is always sort of just a round you kind of got to get through. Even by opening round A10 standards, this is dull.
I maybe we just skip right ahead as well
Yeah.
in this conference here. I'll just note there, UMass LaSalle, Sleek and I went to that regular season game, watched to see that UMass LaSalle game during the regular season, and I think UMass wins that one as well.
Yeah.
But
A
who's gonna win
cup
the who's gonna
who's
win
gonna
this thing?
win it? I'm tempted to pick Dayton because I still can't I think that they have the highest ceiling. I think they've been one of the more disappointing teams in the country this year, especially considering how good they looked back in November. It did look like they were starting to put it together at the end. They need to win it to get in, and I think they do.
Mike, you with him on Dayton, or do you want to go somewhere else?
I mean, Dayton's not a bad pick. I mean, I think it's between VCU or George Mason.
Yeah.
I'm gonna go with Mason.
You go Mason. Dorman, you gonna go Mason also? Dayton, somewhere,
I
VCU?
do like I'm with Mike. I like Mason. I think the winner of that semifinal Saturday afternoon, Mason Dayton, that'll be a great game. I think the winner wins it. I'm going with Mike. I'm going with Mason. Watch out for Loyola Chicago St.
Yeah,
Louis winner.
they
Watch
could make
out for
some
that game.
noise. Look
Yeah,
at you,
Loyola's
Roman could.
good. But you
Yeah.
just stole my thunder a little bit there.
I'm
I am
sorry.
picking the winner of that George Mason Dayton game to win this whole thing, and I think it's probably going to be Dayton. I'm actually on Griggs' side on this one. I hate to say that.
Yeah.
I think they're going to be playing St. Louis in the championship game.
I like it. I like it.
Whoa, wouldn't that be awesome?
Slew, the slew.
Yeah, the Arch Baron Cup.
Yes, an Arch
Yes.
Baron Cup championship game. I just realized that I did that. I didn't realize I was.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Mike, it is opening round day tomorrow in the Big West. Any thoughts on UC Santa Barbara versus Bakersfield and UC Davis versus Cal Poly?
Rocco was here, we'd be getting an hour.
First of all, I'm going to say a
Yeah.
California team is going to win this.
Good
I
call. I
promise that.
agree. I
Yep,
agree.
Hawaii did not make the field, so I agree with you. Little shout out to Cal Poly, who had that huge
In
losing
both
streak in
matchups, it's a
conference that made
UC
it.
school against a Cal State school, so
Yeah.
that's appropriate. Do I have any thoughts on these two games? Not really. None of them
I'll
really.
tell you what. So we could do the same UC versus Cal State tomorrow. Let's go Santa Barbara and Cal Poly.
Yeah.
Fair enough.
Then we can have Santa Barbara Northridge and Poly versus Riverside on the next round.
Yeah, and it's start like by the time this game gets, or by the time the tournament gets down to the quarters, it's actually going to be pretty good.
Yeah.
And this is actually a very important tournament because
Yeah.
this UC San Diego team is, we think they're on the right side of the bubble right now, and this UC Irvine team is still on the bubble, probably on the wrong side of it.
Yeah.
So
I'd
the
like to think
pressure.
if UC San Diego makes the finals and loses, they still have a chance for an at-large bid
Oh, I think
because they
they
have the better
do.
profile.
Yeah, I think they do.
Assuming that they lose to Irvine. Now, if they lose to Cal Poly, it's a different story in the
Yeah,
tournament.
if they lose to
That is
Cal,
true,
yeah.
because that would be a bad loss.
Yeah.
But Mike, do you think UC San Diego wins this? You think Irvine does? You think somebody else does?
I'm gonna go with UC San Diego. I mean, people pick UC Irvine. That's not a bad pick either, but I'll go with the Tritons of UC San Diego.
Dorman.
Even an underdog guy like me, I want to see round three, San Diego Irvine. I'm taking the Tritons
Tritons,
and all the
Griggs.
discussion.
Tritons.
I want to pick UC Irvine. I know they're such a good defensive team, and they did win at UC San Diego. They actually had the road win exchange program with them, but there's just been times where UC Irvine has struggled offensively, and that's cost them some wins. I just think UC San Diego has the more well-rounded team.
I'm going a little different here, and I think we're going to have huge debates about the Big West because of what I'm pick, if what I'm picking happens. I'm picking
Here
UC
comes
Irvine
Northridge.
to beat Northridge in the finals.
That's a good pick.
I think San Diego kind of got screwed by the bracket. I think the third best team got the four seed, and I think Northridge upsets them. I think Irvine probably beats Northridge in the finals against the Big.
You know they did win at Northridge, right?
Yes, I
Recently.
do. But I here's what I'm just saying is that I think that makes the San Diego debate even tougher if they lose not to Irvine but to Northridge. We'll see. I still hope they get in if even what I have to say happens. Griggs, one last conference tomorrow. It is the first two of the four quarterfinals in the MEAC as Norfolk State is going to take on the red hot Maryland Eastern Shore, who won two out of three down the stretch, and Coppin State versus South Carolina State, who actually tied for the conference championship at the end of the day.
Excellent. Anyway.
That's it. That's all you got. Well, did do you have who wins this event?
Norfolk going away.
Yeah, I know South Carolina State tied them. I think that Norfolk just kind of slept through half the season, which is why they lost a few games. They'll be awake for this. And
I think so too.
they're in their home city. They're playing at the Norfolk Scope, home of WWF, or it's what was it, wrestling? What was the other wrestling that they had way back in the 80s where they always had their Norfolk Scope? But anyhow,
Can't say I remember that.
Mike, who wins the MEAC?
I'm gonna go on a, no, not on a whim. I'll pick South Carolina State.
South Carolina State in the mild upset. Dorman.
Norfolk State, I think the talent is so much stronger than the rest of the conference.
All right. That's it for tomorrow's games. And that's actually it for previewing all the, there's only two conferences that aren't going to be tipping off by tomorrow. We'll get to them in another d next day or two here. But let's check out our survival board.
All right.
Right up there on the website. And Griggs, this is a service that we do for the selection committee.
Yes.
Starts here by us counting down the number of teams left with a chance to win it all. And heading into the day today, there were 209 teams left. Big threshold that we passed today. Let's see where we are.
Wow,
187 teams left.
22 teams
Woo.
eliminated.
It'll actually be 186 by the time the night ends, as soon as this Big Sky game goes final, actually. 186 heading into tomorrow. But we also have for this, for as a service for the committee, teams categorized in different ways here, Griggs.
And we have to do this for the committee, otherwise they might get confused. They have a hard job and they need resources, and that's what we're here to do.
We have teams in blue. If they're bold and all capped in blue, they've locked it an automatic bid, like you see Lipscomb there. We also have teams, a few other teams like Duke and Louisville. And let's say a committee member starts wondering about Louisville. They weren't that good last year. Maybe they don't belong in this year. What does this tell them?
Well, that they should take them because they're in blue, and that they could get confused because Louisville wasn't good last year, and they might not realize that Louisville is good this year.
What if they come up to this board here, Griggs, and they start talking about Florida Atlantic? Florida Atlantic, who had that Final Four run and
Very good
everything.
Florida Atlantic team a couple
And
years ago.
they think, is this an at-large bid quality team this year?
And Chad, committee members think that all the time. They're like, Florida Atlantic last year or 2 years ago, they were in the Final Four. Dusty May is coaching there. He's doing a great job. Like, we need to take Florida Atlantic. But then they come to this board and realize that no, they shouldn't. Like, not without the auto bid. And then if they do some research later, they'll realize Dusty May's not even there anymore. But they don't know that. They don't know that yet. I mean, they've been busy.
What if Griggs, they were watching the ACC today and they say, you know what? Pittsburgh got totally screwed on that bad foul call. Maybe we should give them a bid because of that.
And again, it's natural for the committee members to feel sorry for a team that got hosed like that. I mean, they would want to do that. And it's just, again, I just want to reiterate how important this board is, because without this board, they'd be selecting Pitt.
They would. Griggs, what about North Carolina? I mean, that's a team that when we did our last bracket rundown, they were our top team out. What
Yeah.
do they do if they come here? What to do about North Carolina? I see
Well,
them in green. What are they in
and
green?
God, the committee, and they've told us this. They don't want us to have green teams anymore. It makes it really hard. But we that is one where they will have to decide. They're going to call you. They did last year, and say, like, can you make them a different color so we'll know what to do? And what are you going to say when you get what do you say when you get
Well,
calls
I
like
say
that?
like for example, if SMU loses tomorrow, I may say, well, we'll move SMU to red for
Yeah.
you. But I don't think I'm gonna tell them in North Carolina that, just sorry, I can't do everything.
Yeah, I know. We
We
try.
took care of about 340 schools for you. There's only about 25 that we left in green.
Yeah.
You can't, it's such a little job compared to what we did for you.
I know. Yeah. I
We
mean,
did all the heavy lifting.
yeah, we
We
did.
did.
And yeah.
I mean, we had to make the decisions about UAB, UTSA, Winthrop,
Yeah, I mean,
North Carolina A&T. I mean, I think we spent hours on North Carolina A&T, didn't we?
yeah, we did. It was, man, that one, that, I mean, we just went round and round and round.
Let's go to our best 15 trophies in college athletics. We've been counting them down. Quick recap. The wagon wheel. The old ochre bucket. We have another old ochre bucket game tomorrow with Utah Valley and Utah Tech, by the way. We had all the rest of our mythical conference buckets. We've seen the St. Olaf Concordia troll. We have
Sweet
seen the Border War trophy.
There's something a little off.
We have
See
seen the
the
Wynwood
Wynwood
Cup.
Cup. Steve,
We love you, Steve.
Yeah.
We've seen the Silver Shako, and yes, that's rated NC-17. Sorry,
Yeah.
folks. The Gouge Eater Cup,
The
a real
gouge.
bronze Gouge Eater.
Yeah.
The Southland Tournament, the
Yeah.
entire court. It's a
The
cup. It,
entire court, the winner gets to take it home with
and
them.
tomorrow, somebody's gonna be taking that home.
Yeah. That is a big trophy.
And we saw last night King Spud.
King, yes.
Unfortunately, tonight Idaho's season looks like it's about to come to an end here. Idaho
Yeah,
State
so we're
won
not going to
last night.
have a King Spud game in the conference tournament.
But speaking about Big Sky, Griggs, let's go on to number five because that's not the only great trophy that the Big Sky Conference even has.
Okay, yeah.
And this is an exciting one here. It's the Nokoiwu. Griggs, is that you eating the cup?
No.
It's the Nokoiwu cup.
Eaten by a shark or
It's a shark puppet. Griggs, it definitely looks like a relative of yours, maybe.
I don't know. I don't know what that is. And I wouldn't know that it looks delicious. Yeah.
You got any facts for us about this one, or?
Well, this one, yeah, I mean, you can, it's on the other side. You can't see it, but it's got a picture of a real Nokoiwu on there. And I always thought that was fascinating because it was, I mean, they took a mold of it, carved it into the cup, and this is what Northern Colorado and Eastern Washington hand back and forth, and they've been doing that. Chad, this rivalry's been going on for a while, ever since the Rocky Mountains were invented.
Yes, obviously Nokoiwus are shark food as well, because
Yeah.
that's about the only thing I can guess. I don't know what the hell's going on here. Let's
Yeah.
get out of this screen and go to final thoughts. Mike, you're up first.
It's been another exciting day. I had a feeling, to be honest with you, that Gonzaga would beat St. Mary's because it's just, St. Mary's is a great team, but it's so hard to beat another team three straight times. And Gonzaga, they've been playing really well. They've finally gotten it together, and I think, they're likely going to be elevated to a seven seed, and they're the seven seed that if you're the two, you really don't you. You really don't want to face them. I don't think this loss is going to hurt St. Mary's too much. They've had a great year. They're going to be a 5 or 6 seed. So kudos to Gonzaga. They won, and they were the better team. Yeah, I'm excited. Now the major conferences are in full gear, and they're some of them have started in earnest. And now Wednesday, you're going to have the remaining major tournaments begin. So we'll let the good times continue.
Absolutely. Plus, we're gonna have Charlotte versus Rice. Dorman, you're up.
Yeah, I am a little thrilled. I'm surprised by some of the times tomorrow on some championship games. And Griggs always tells us that this is, and he's right, for a lot of these conferences, it is their biggest day of the year. Their conference is front and center on national TV. The Big Sky tomorrow on a Wednesday night is tipping off at 11:30 Eastern. Like, who is,
No me
they
gusta.
usually do this on the weekend and the Saturday night. Everyone's ready for Selection Sunday and it's the weekend and people can stay up. Who's going to be up at it besides college
Besides
basketball?
us,
Crazy. Besides
I
us,
know.
11:30 Eastern, you're tipping off in the Big Sky. Then I look at the Southland and they got a team that's really, really good in McNeese and they're tipping off tomorrow their championship game at 5 p.m. Eastern. Again, it's a little early. Like, wait till the people, like, I don't know. I know you have to work with ESPN and televisions, and there's a lot of barter, but what are you doing? But five?
I can explain to you a little bit here, Doran. It's
Please.
because the Big 12 and the ACC have gone to such big formats. They're going to be the ones at the 7 to 9:30 windows on ESPN2 and ESPNU. It's a Wednesday night. ESPN itself is covering the NBA tomorrow night, and so they just kind of ran out of networks. But I think they use ESPN News every now and then for a game.
You, ESPNU.
Well, ESPN is being used for the Big 12, while ESPN is two is being used for the ACC, or vice
The
versa.
ACC has a
ACC has their
network.
own. Yeah, the ACC has their own
And
network.
they do. I think there's things. I'm just saying that this is the way that it's working out, and that's one of the reasons why they put them on these weird times. But if that's what's going to happen, these conferences should be moving their conference tournaments
Yes.
to another day.
Get rid
We
of.
just
Yep.
heard that starting next year, the Metro Atlantic is moving. They're going to be doing a Tuesday night championship game in, I believe, the 7 o'clock time frame. They're going to find a way to work it in. Well, that freed up a spot on Saturday. Let's move the Southland or the Big Sky out there.
Yeah.
Just saying. But on that note, oh, sorry, Griggs, you got to get your final thought in.
I was going to kind of say something about that, just so, some of the odd start times for the championship games. But also, it's just I always thought that Thursday of championship week was the crown and jewel of it because of, you had all those quarterfinal games. But with the SEC being as strong as it is, we have meaningful games in the round before the quarterfinals. I don't know if I've ever seen that before.
This is going to be an insane tournament. I'm more than any conference tournament. I'm excited about this. Also, a little bit concerned that some of these teams might just not bother really wanting to win, as Dorn, as you mentioned last night. So, because they just want to rest and get ready for the real tournament next week. But on that note, now, I do want to thank everybody for joining us. On behalf of David Dorman, David Griggs, Mike Cha, I am Chad Sherwood. We'll be back again tomorrow night with yet another Championship Week video notebook and our first update tomorrow. Griggs, we're excited about this on what the actual selection committee is doing because they start meeting tomorrow
They
and
start
our
meeting
meeting will start
tomorrow.
Thursday.
All right, and we will be updating you on some of their progress.
Yes, ice cream social, spaghetti dinner, everything. On that note, though, I want to thank you for joining us. We'll talk to you again real soon.